Welcome to A Gram of Hope. I'm your host, Jerome Graham. On today's episode, we'll be speaking with Crystal Darnell, and she's with the Lucas County DEI?
Yes.
All right. See, I caught her off guard because she didn't know I was going to do it that way. Now, you may have heard the term made as part of a 1963 speech, and I will tell you that these are not the ideas, thoughts, or contributions of the public broadcasting system. These are just little things that I pulled off for my own program. And the speech had the content segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. Then in 1964, you may have been watching the news and you heard words that contain the law would promote freedom, justice, and respect for human dignity. So now the question is, what is right, the first one or the second one? And wasn't the Declaration of Independence, when it said we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Doesn't this succeed both the segregation conversation and the conversation about the law would promote freedom, justice, and respect? Because if everybody has rights, doesn't that supersede everything? And then you have something that has been in the news here recently, and I mean it's been in the news a lot. The concept of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's gained significant traction. It has become widely discussed in the corporate and societal sphere, primarily through the 1960 Civil Rights Movement with its roots in the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And that prohibited employment discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. However, the focus on DEI has evolved. It's not what it used to be, and it's expanded to encompass more identities over time. So, to help vet it out and make it more understandable, let's say bringing it down to the sixth grade level, so to speak, we've asked Ms. Darnell to come in, who has had experience with DEI, who lives and breathes DEI, who understands DEI, to help us understand it on that sixth grade level. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever you listen to this broadcast. Hi, Ms. Darnell, how are you?
I am great. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity to share my thoughts, and my thoughts are my own.
It's so wonderful having you here. We're glad that you came in. Mm-hmm. Now, talk about your background with DEI.
Okay. Well, my background with diversity, equity, and inclusion, again, I been in this work for a really long time. I started out as a consultant. I had a consultant business that I've worked with, bringing attention and helping those to understand racial bias, sexism, harassment in the workplace, customer service, team building, and all of those things that when we're working with a large group of people is understanding what gets in the way of us really connecting with each other, and how do we deal with some of the miscommunications that sometimes comes with us just working as a team. And so that's my primary experience. I've been doing this for probably the last 30 years. I've been doing this work. I have a strong background with doing a lot of work around anti-poverty initiatives, where some of this work sort of overlaps. And so now, you know, just doing this as my main job or career, and diversity, equity, inclusion, or just connecting people is very important. It's my passion, and I love the work that I do.
You've been doing it so long, and this is like something that never stays the same. It seems like every administration or every environmental situation changes things, and you've got to respond to that. Are you having fun?
You know what? It's to be honest with you, I'm lightweight exhausted because of these changes throughout the years. And again, recently in this present day, you know, environment, it's becoming, people are being more brazen about it. And so now we're dealing with it in a more direct way. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you used to work with teams and help them and guiding them. Break down DEI.
Well, when we talk about DEI, in my personal opinion, my perspective, and what I teach, you know, we know what diversity is, right? We know that when we sit around a table, we know that there's diversity. There's diversity at the table. We talk about male, female, gender, race, you know, even class background. And then there's diversity that we don't see. If you're a parent, your age, where you grew up. And so there's diversity, and then there's also layers of diversity. When we talk about equity, equity is about being fair. It's about not just giving everyone a cheer, but giving everyone the cheer that will allow them to reach the table where they feel comfortable in their cheer. And so it's not about just everybody gets a car, but they get the car that they need that will allow them to succeed and to get where they need to go. And then, of course, inclusion is about creating the space, giving them the tools, allowing them to share their ideals, and where everybody feels valuable and they're included in the process. And so it's not just being invited to the party, but it's also being asked to dance, and it's also playing the right music that allow me, you know, to do the dance that I'm accustomed to doing.
You know, earlier I mentioned that the Declaration of Independence really should have been enough to create an equal playing field. But I reckon, as they used to say back in the day, if a man can't eat, or he can't work, he can't eat. And so then something like DEI comes along so a man can have access to that playing field. What's your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts on this, you said a key word, should have been enough. Because again, when we talk about the Declarations of Independence, at the beginning of time, when we were brought here and we, you know, African Americans were enslaved, and then, you know, when we talk about chattel slavery, and then a part of the Constitution where, you know, Africans were only considered 3/4 of a person, of a human being. So from the beginning, when we talk about fairness and the Constitution, and you know how we are treated in this country, it was unfair from the beginning. And so, and when we talk about the Constitution, and so some of the laws, the culture, the opinions, especially when we talk about you know, whites in this country and how they see people of color, if it's already embedded in our Constitution that we were not a whole person, and so we were not privileged to the same opportunities that others may have had.
I saw an example utilized. It was part of a training session, and everyone started out at the beginning, but then the questions were asked, and if you were able to respond to the question, you had a chance to move closer to the finish line before the race started. So everyone who grew up with two parents, everyone who had a college account by the time you were 12, everyone who had a certain type of elementary school education. So once you ask those questions, it staggered where everyone began that race. And then the starter said, "On your mark, get set, go."
Yeah.
And many of the people were already near the finish line. But they were, everybody was, "Do you think that that's fair?" So now we get a matter of perspective. Talk about what are the pillars of DEI, and is the race fair?
Well, we know the race is not fair, because we know that there are resources that are available to other people that are not available in all communities. You know, for instance, if you are attending a school, your kids are attending school, let's say in a middle class, upper middle class community, one thing the parent does not have to worry about: if my child have access to books, computers, technology that will allow them to compete on a fair, on a fair running field. I mean, and so you don't have to worry about if there's after school program, debate clubs, and, you know, Spanish clubs and instruments. You don't have to concern, because that is a given. Right. But if you are if your child is attending a school in a low income community that don't have all those resources, because the way property taxes are set up, we know that funds and how they flow. And so we have parents that where we have kids where they cannot even bring home their books. They don't have books. They don't have after school programs. They don't have musical instruments that allow them to develop their talents and their gifts, or even to explore. And so when we talk about the disadvantage of how not only race and poverty and just socioeconomic environment, we know that it makes a difference. We know that there are some resources that if you live in a certain community that you are not getting. And then we have society to turn around and blame the student and blame the parent for not having access to those resources that they were never given. And so that's where we talk about when they're looking at DEI, and then they try to demonize it, and they trying to say that, well, somebody was given something special, when we do have a person of color that makes it to vice president. Okay, it could not have been on her own merit. It had to be a DEI hire, which, I mean, and again, what the audacity to say that what we've earned and what that we were given a special test or a special pass, and what a disservice that it does when we talk about how you look at a person of color and how you look at women on top of that. So is this not around race? We talk about those pillars. So we know that education is a piece. Let's look at the criminal justice system. We know that it's unfair. I know people personally that went to prison for 10 plus years for something that they did not do. And not because and the reason being, they didn't have the money. They used a public defender. They didn't have the resources in order to fight their case. They wasn't educated enough to know what to say and what not to say. They were coerced. And there's stories that you can, you know, all over that you can read that demonstrate just the unfairness of the criminal justice system, and how it has decimated the Black communities.
Yeah, I was looking at that movie John Q, and I thought that was a perfect example. If you've got money, you can afford this type of medical care. If you don't have money, you might not want to get sick.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see that it's happening. We know that it's real. I mean, just a little bit about my background. I grew up in poverty, a single mom, Detroit, Michigan. I remember where the lady from the welfare office would come and search our house to make sure there wasn't a man, or that we didn't buy a new TV or a new toaster. And so I remember those things where you were not allowed to, you were only given enough to survive. And so, and then you have these narratives and these stories that, oh, people are milking this system that only gives you enough so you don't die, right?
That's rough.
And so, and then when you equate that to race, right? So then you make it a Black issue. And I've seen that, and just hearing some of the rhetoric around the miscommunication of just some of these ideals, and this it that is created to divide us, and so yeah, so you know, so I see this, and it's for me, it's just it just hurts my heart that we're still having this conversation and people are being misled.
So that association, taking the word and associating it with a perceived bias, a perceived mm-hmm. negative, is that an unconscious bias? Because people will say, I never thought of it that way, mm-hmm. but they're being fed bad information.
Yeah, and they are. So let's talk about bias, because we all are biased, right? We all have a level of bias. Bias is not a bad thing, right? It's a part of our fight and flight response. Our bias is there to keep us safe. However, it's when your bias is used to demean another human being, to make assumptions about people that are not true, where your bias stops you from learning and growing. Because again, you can have a bias about what you see. Okay, there's a bias. I can see if I'm walking to my car at night, and if there's a man with a black coat on with his face covered walking towards me, my first instinct is like, oh, okay, is this friend or foe? And so I'm moving to my car, then he gets close and I realize, oh, okay, this is somebody that I know. But my first instinct was, do I need to run? I grab my keys, and it's okay. But don't mistreat me because of an assumption that you had about me that is grounded in your bias, because bias can kill people. You know, I think about the story where the young man, some years ago, the young man that rung the wrong doorbell, he was picking up his brother, right? And this guy just shot through the door. He saw it was a black male and shot him through the door without asking any questions, That's where bias kills. And, you know, the same way where the woman who displayed the LGBTQ flag outside her store, and someone went and felt like she didn't deserve to live, and he killed her. So when we talk about bias, that's when bias is destructive. And that's when, again, we need to understand that we have to take responsibility for that, you know, to understand where did that come from and what is the truth, and ask ourselves questions about, is this bias or is this thought or my level of awareness, what do I need to do to make sure that I'm not inflicting pain and hurt or make an assumption about people that is harmful?
To make sure that your bias is not a negative perception of somebody or something else. Because it sounds like a bias could be an opportunity for growth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And when I was doing workshops, and I used to do workshops with a diverse group of people from various backgrounds, and I tell you, those are some of my greatest moments in my life, because we had people there that was asking questions and they were confessing. I remember when, before I, you know, have joined this workshop, I remember when I saw a black man driving a nice car. Now I'm aware when my bias kicks in and I make assumptions about it. And now I'm asking myself, why is that? And so I'm not just letting it overtake me, but now I am thinking about, why am I thinking this? And I don't even know that it's true.
That's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I hope someone embraces that thought, that it just didn't glance right by them, because mm-hmm. until we fix ourselves, we can't fix anything else in our environment. It begins with us. Now, mm-hmm. DEI hasn't always been around forever. It's a thing that was given a name mm-hmm. back in the 60s, because there's always been help out there. There's always been someone helping those who were marginalized so that they could get through doors. Mm-hmm. It received a name in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Talk about that and how it was shaped by affirmative action.
Yeah. So when we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, again, let's go back. We're talking about fairness. We're talking about, you know, again, we're not looking at a handout. we're saying, just give me an opportunity. In the words of James Brown, he said, just open the door and I go in and get it for myself. That's all we're saying. We're not, you know, we're not saying give us something for free. And so again, yes, during the civil rights movement, we know that, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, he talked about, you know, how fairness and just opportunity and just treat me. I remember watching the signs, I am a man. You know, treating people like human beings, that's what DEI, equity, access was about. Because again, when you said every man wanted to take care of his family. And so again, when we go back and we're in how DEI has evolved into this thing that has become evil and demonic and, you know, this bad thing that, you know, DEI means giving me something that I did not deserve. And everything that I have, and I can speak personally, everything that I have from my education to all that I own, no one gave me anything. I work for everything that I have, as well as other, you know, prominent African-Americans, doctors, lawyers, no one gave us anything. And so again, but someone put that someone redefined what DEI is, made it this thing that is unfair, that we're getting something or they're taking something from, you know, the dominant culture, and they're giving it to us, and now they're going to be left with nothing. And so they're using this scarcity tactic in order to drive fear and to divide us, as if when we talk about just being fair, because I don't know anybody that doesn't want equity, want fairness. Who wants to be included? That is a natural right that we want to be at the table. That we want to be valued. We want to be heard. And we know that when DEI is sitting around the table and there's diversity, not only in race or gender, but also diversity in thought and experience. And we know that that creates creativity and innovation, you know, with organizations and companies. They've seen this. This is a fact. It's been studied. And so again, yes, it has moved from the civil rights movement as, you know, just being fair, to now it has been redefined based on what's been happening, where we're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because when we're talking about that, and it's not only just around race, but it's around people with disabilities. You know, we're talking about veterans. We're talking about, it's not just they have watered it down where DEI means black or means LGBTQ.
You did better than I would have.
I know. And I said so much. And so now with in that narrative is wrapped around DEI to make it, you know, this horrible thing. And people are being deceived. They're being misinformed that, again, DEI is a bad thing. And then they connect it with affirmative action. Affirmative action was, again, just another way of just making things fair. If we were a society of human beings that where we were going to treat everybody with fairness and with, you know, humility and humanity, we would not need to have affirmative action and DEI initiatives. But we can't, and we don't, and we've seen it throughout history. So that's why these are in place, just to make it fair for everyone else. But the definition has been hijacked, just like being woke. We talked about just being aware. Now they done hijacked, you know, that word and made it something.
I still got to look that one up, because I stopped with your definition, just being aware. I did not know that being woke was a bad thing.
No, and it's not. It started out, it was not a bad thing, but it's just saying, just be aware of what's happening around you and make decisions in your life accordingly. You know, it wasn't a bad thing. So, yeah.
Now, everything that exists that is part of a system has elements. Talk about the initiatives, the elements of DEI.
Well, for me, again, when I'm talking about DEI and how I explain and what I do in my work, DEI is about how do we create space at the table for everyone to have a chair, for everyone to feel value, for everyone to feel that their opinion matters. It's about connection. It's about understanding. It's about communication. It's about me seeing your different point of view, and we get to discuss and debate those point of views, even though I may not agree, but we can agree to disagree. And so again, it's not this form or this platform to try to get you to accept some ideology that you feel that, you know, you don't believe in. And so I think when we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's about how can we be better together? It's not to separate us, because here's the thing. We all have a story, right? We all have a story. We've all come from somewhere. We all started somewhere. And it's in those stories that make us who we are. Every experience, everything that we've seen, we heard, how we were brought up, our family. And so it's in those experiences that makes us unique. And so what I enjoy most about my work is sitting at a table, even with someone I don't agree with, and I want to know, how did you get there? Why do you believe what you believe? Because I want to understand it too, and we're sharing those stories with each other. Because one thing that you cannot deny my story. And so me as, you know, a Black woman growing up in poverty and now living middle class life, it depends on what month it is. Sometimes I don't feel that way. But, you know, but it's and when I get to sit down with someone that's totally different from a different background or race or gender or even from a different country, I grow as a human being and I thrive on that because I learned something about the other person. I learned something about myself. And so, again, for me, that's what diversity, equity, and inclusion is. It's about us finding that connection that we all want the same thing. And we're all seeking, we want comfort, we want love, we want to be appreciated, we want to be heard, right? All of us, I don't care where you come from, that's one common denominator I found. We all want that. And what's wrong with us being able to sit down and just share that with each other? And so that's how I look at DEI.
You stated that most eloquently. How do everyday people get involved with DEI, or is it going to evolve? Maybe they should just wait.
You know what? Things are changing so fast. So the DEI is being redefined. We don't know what's happening, and it is scary. And so I know that there's organizations that are changing the DEI language because, again, we have to figure out how do we continue to do the work? Because in DEI and doing this work, it's about doing no harm. It's the opposite. It's about bringing people together. It's about being fair. It's about understanding. And so the thing about this present day kind of toxic environment that we're living in right now that feels so divisive around, diversity, equity, and inclusion, we have to understand that we can have policies and laws, but the culture will always eat the policy. So we can have the best policy, the best laws, and the best intentions, but if the culture is still in this space where they cannot be open and receptive to others and know that we are all valuable, then we can put all the policies and procedures in place and it wouldn't matter. I mean, going back to the civil rights, I mean, we talk about, the people would say, well, we got civil rights, we got voting rights, and we got civil rights laws, but that didn't stop lynching.
True.
We had all these laws that didn't stop, you know, mass incarceration of people of color. You know, that didn't stop police brutality, especially when we talk about community policing in, you know, Black communities. So that didn't stop, discrimination.
Yes,
and right. So, and when we talk about, let's even go even back when we talk about the subprime, you know, housing, you know, bust, and how when we talk about the transfer of wealth, that we had it impacted the Black community more than it impacted any other community, and people lost their homes as a result of that. And so again, so it didn't stop that. So it is about us, our personal responsibility. And first of all, we have to understand, let's stop blaming and trying to find a scapegoat, you know, for what is happening. It is about us taking personal responsibility. Don't just believe everything that comes up on social media. Don't just go with, because again, if you don't do your due diligence, and it is about you as an individual and how you see things. And again, it's okay for us to disagree, but let's not demonize each other and as a result of our disagreement. And, you know, so for me, that's what diversity, equity, and inclusion mean. You know, and if we could get there, I mean, that would be a prize.
Do you go and speak to groups?
I do. Yes.
How would people get in touch with you?
So my email, I can be reached at cdarnell415@gmail.com.
All right. You've been phenomenal. Thank you for coming on, and you blew me away.
Well, thank you. I'm honored that you invited me to speak today.
Oh, we got to have you back.
Okay.
Got to have you back. You've been listening to A Gram of Hope. Our guest today has been Ms. Crystal Darnell. And like I said, we've got to have her back. I'm your host and producer, C. Jerome Graham. Our executive producer is Mr. Chris Piper. If you have any questions, comments, and I'm sure you will, or you just want to listen again, which is what I'm going to do, go to WGTE.org/hope or wherever you stream your podcasts.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.